You are listening to the Best in Wealth podcast, episode number 244. This is the Best in Wealth podcast, a show for successful family stewards who want real answers about wealth and investing so we can feel secure about our family's future. At the Best in Wealth podcast, we think differently about wealth and investing, and you should too. Well, hello everyone. My name is Scott Wellens and I'm your host of the Best in Wealth podcast. This is a show dedicated to helping real people, that is you, my friend, build real wealth so together we can take family stewardship to the next level. I'm a fiduciary, a fee-only certified financial planner, educator, and wealth advisor. And today's episode is, why is everyone so worried? Well, everyone includes me. And we do get worried about different things. And for me, I don't know why, but I often worry about things I can't control. You know what I'm saying? It happens often. For example, next weekend, my daughter has a volleyball tournament out of town. In fact, it's in Philadelphia, so we need to fly there. Don't get me started about travel volleyball costs. I do have a budget, so I could get deep into those numbers, but they're not pretty, and we'll save that for another time. But my daughter has bad ears. She had a set of tubes put in, you know, shortly after she was born. Those fell out. She had another set of tubes put in. It seems like 90% of the time when we fly, one of those ears or both ears get plugged, especially when she's sick. Well, guess what? She's all stuffed up right now. So here I am a week before the flight, just worrying, going over all the what ifs. What if she gets more stuffy? What if those ears plug up for the whole weekend? She is a bougie sophomore in high school who can't handle pain, and it's just going to be awful. But why am I going through all these what ifs? Why am I worrying about something that I can't control? Let's get to the topic of the day. Okay, here we go. Why is everybody so worried? And in particular, I'm talking about the world, the economy, and the stock market, and finally your 401ks, investment accounts, and IRAs. Because the stock market started out the year great. Gosh, by the end of the first quarter, we were up over 10% with the S&P 500. Now, maybe not a diversified portfolio, but that's just a gauge. Over 10% for the average of the top 500 companies. That's pretty good. But what's happened since then? Stock market's taken a big drop. The first 19 days of April, since I'm recording this on April 19th. And my business partner, Brian Kahan, certified financial analyst and expert, wrote an article titled The Wall of Worry. And I want to go over that article today, and mostly because I feel like people are all sudden worried again. You know, we had a great November, great December, great start to the year, and now we're a little worried. But let's pull back the curtain and figure out why we're worried and if we should even be worried. So as I said, and I'm going to read a lot of this that Brian wrote, but the financial markets got off to a great start in 2024. U.S. stocks raced to almost, I guess it was almost 10% gains in the first quarter. But as you might have noticed, things have been in quite a bit of a lull and a drop the past few weeks. I don't suggest you look at your 401ks because you dropped down to close to where you started the year off again. But just going back to 2023, we started out, January was a great month, and by the end of the quarter, we were back to even. Well, the inflation report that came out for the March CPI certainly didn't help matters. The March CPI inflation was reported at a 3.5% annual rate, which was higher than expected and likely closed the door on a June interest rate cut by the Fed. You see, the expectations was 3.4, I believe, and we were 3.5. So just a tick higher, but that just made that stock market drop pretty hard in April. You see, at the beginning of the year, the stock market had priced in 6 interest rate cuts in 2024. But because inflation ticked higher, now the expectation is maybe 3 cuts, and really, we don't even know if we're going to see that. You see, the stock market has priced in all the available information and then the expectations, but we don't exactly know what's going to happen in the future, so we're just guessing at what might happen. So, is it time, though, to worry about inflation again? Well, Brian is inclined to say no. I'm inclined to say no. But market participants are clearly worried with this stock market drop. But what stock market participants, and maybe this is you, maybe it's not you, what they don't want to hear about is how much interest they're earning in their savings accounts, or they don't want to be reminded of the fact that their wages have actually gone up. They want price rises to stop or to actually go backwards, though that is highly unlikely to happen. But the bottom line is that the economy is too good to expect a rapid cooling off anytime soon. When people are working, people are spending, and almost everyone is working. And in this article, which we're going to post to bestinwealth.com in episode 244, there's a nice inflation report that Brian had posted inside of his article. And we can see that in June 2022, CPI inflation was at its peak at 9.1%. And then every quarter since has taken a nice big drop. In June of 23, we were already down in the threes. Then we ticked up a little bit in September of 2023. In December, we dropped again to 3.4%. And then in March, we hit 3.5%. And most of that inflation from the CPI inflation report is coming from shelter, home prices, 1.9 of that 3.5%. Very, very interesting. Go to bestinwealth.com, episode number 244, and check it out. Because what you will see when you look is progress, and a significant amount of progress to where we were. Trying to battle inflation is an extremely messy process. We should consider ourselves fortunate that headline inflation has fallen from almost 9% to in the threes without the need for some sort of catastrophic event happening in the economy or the labor market. We should be applauding what's going on, but instead we're very worried once again. Because for a long time there, it seemed like the only way out of this spiraling inflation was a recession. And I'm not saying a recession isn't going to happen. We can't predict it. But there's a whole lot less thought about a recession now than there was this time last year. And despite the Fed's best efforts to slam on the brakes, we skirted an economic recession last year and continued to add hundreds of thousands of jobs each month. It's remarkable. Almost no one thought we could disinflate and create jobs at the same time, yet that is exactly what happened. Yet, so many people are worried about inflation again. And I get it. Trust me, prices are high at the grocery store. When I go in the dairy section to buy cream cheese for my kids' bagels, I cannot believe it. And once something hit, when inflation hits, it's likely to stay. So that large increase that we've seen is going to stay. It's just the increases we see now are a lot less. In fact, the average rate of inflation over the last 100 years is 3%. Our latest inflation reading was 3.5%. Now, the Fed wants to get down to 2%. And maybe we will never get to that 2% inflation rate that seems to be the target now on everyone's mind. But as Brian said, he thinks this is a very tall task given the strength of the consumer and labor market. So unless auto insurance and shelter costs reverse their upward trends, investors might just have to get used to the idea that 3% inflation is the new normal, but actually it's the average over the last 100 years. So we got all this inflation business going on, but as Brian points out again in the article, That's not the only thing, because adding to the angst surrounding the latest CPI report is all the geopolitical stuff happening around the world. And anytime we have events that trigger a panicked response by investors because of their high level of uncertainty, I mean, that's just what happens. Every time we have high angst, and now we have a little crisis in Iran right now, we don't exactly know where it's headed, but it causes uncertainty and panic. But you might be surprised to know that it rarely pays off to make portfolio changes in reaction to this sort of thing. Why? Because we don't know what's going to happen. And the more we read about a brewing crisis, the more our minds go to worst case scenarios. But most importantly, while we might be right about our own predictions, we could be wrong about the reaction in the stock and bond markets. Brian writes, consider today, and he wrote this article on Monday. It's April 19th, Friday right now. So on Monday, stocks were up while bonds and oil were down as he was writing the article. I don't even know how the stock market ended on Monday, but that's the exact opposite of what we all thought was going to happen because of what happened over the weekend with the geopolitical stuff going on. So what could be helpful to us is to consider some past market reactions to major geopolitical events. And Brian lists off six of these that I'm going to read to you that might surprise you. Because as I always tell all of my clients, we have to find a way to separate our politics and what might be happening around the world and our 401ks and IRAs, because they don't move the same way. And let me give you some examples. In the 6 months following the onset of World War I in 1914, the Dow dropped more than 30%. The market even closed for 6 months. Think about that for a second. Doom and gloom all over the place. I'm selling. But wait, in the following year, it rose more than 88%, which remains the highest annual return on record for the Dow. I mean, we had World War I and the market dropped 30%. We're shaking in our boots. All we can think about is selling. It's the worst thing we could have done. Another example, Hitler invaded Poland on September 1st, 1939, beginning World War II. Think about that, turning on the news and seeing that. Think about if we had social media and all these other news outlets at that point in time. The market was closed when Hitler invaded, but when the market opened on September 5th, the Dow actually rose 10% in a single day. Go figure. Another example, the Dow Jones lost only 1% and remained surprisingly calm during the 13-day period of the Cuban Missile Crisis in 1962. Shoot, we thought we might have been blown up. And guess what? The stock market stayed calm. Another example, the stock market opened up 4.5% the day after JFK was assassinated, and went on to gain more than 15% in the following year, 1964. Who would have thought? I mean, many of you listen to this podcast. We're not around during some of these times, but some of you were. Do you remember? Probably not, because we all suffer from recency bias. That's for sure. Here's another example. Stocks fell sharply after the 9/11 attacks, dropping almost 15% in less than 2 weeks following the tragedy. Now, I remember this. This was scary. My 401k was dropping like a rock. The economy was already in a deep recession, and stocks were still falling from the technology bubble. But within a couple of months, the stock market had gained back all of its losses from September 11th. Do you remember? I don't. I do now that I read this, but I didn't remember it at that time. I remember being really scared about my 401k. That's about it. Last example, the U.S. invaded Iraq in March of 2003. Stocks rose 2.3% the following day and finished up the year with a gain of more than 30% from that point on. I'll read that again. The U.S. invaded Iraq in March of 2003 and stocks rose and continued to rise. Do you remember? I don't. because we all suffer from recency bias. But you can see that markets have a mixed record when dealing with international conflicts. And there's no blueprint or roadmap for investors to follow. And obviously none of us have any idea how the situation in the Middle East is going to play out. We just don't know. About the only thing we do know is that we're likely to see a fair amount of market volatility over the coming days and weeks and months, because guess what? We have a U.S. election coming up this year. So as we start to digest all of this new information, we will continue to keep you posted here at Best in Wealth, here at Fortress Planning Group. But remember, your best guard against all of this geopolitical stuff and all of this inflation talk is to have a plan right now. To have an investment policy statement that's going to guide you through the good times and the bad times. Because if you don't, you're going to go willy-nilly on something and possibly sell when the stock market's about to go up another 88%. So what's it going to be for you? Are you going to worry about all of this stuff and possibly make an emotional decision about your investments? Or are you going to make sure that you're informed but not infected? What do I mean by that? I'm not telling people not to know what's going on in the world, but I am telling people, if you're sitting in front of the news 24/7 and man, it's all over the place, the news is no longer just informing. It is infecting our minds, and we go to the worst possible places when there is so much good happening in the world and in the economy right now. So I am going to make a promise to you. I'm going to stop worrying about my daughter in her ears. Am I going to stay informed? Am I going to do the things she needs to do, like take her allergy pill or whatever else she needs to do to give her the best chance of her ears not plugging up on the plane? But that's a whole week away. I got too much life to live without just worrying about my daughter's ears. That's all I have for you. I hope everybody has a great, great week ahead. And I will see you all on the flip side. Bye-bye, everyone. The Best in Wealth Podcast is hosted by Scott Wellens. Scott Wellens is the principal at Fortress Planning Group. Fortress Planning Group is a registered investment advisory firm regulated by the U.S. Securities and Exchange Committee in accordance and compliance with securities laws and regulations. Fortress Planning Group does not offer or render personalized investment or tax advice through the Best in Wealth Podcast. The information provided is for informational purposes only and does not constitute financial, tax, investment, or legal advice.